Welcome to Real Estate Mom Moguls, the podcast where real estate powerhouses meet mom life. I'm Erin McNamara.
And I'm Amanda Bohm.
We're here to spill the beans on our real life, raw, and often side-splitting experiences in the fast-paced world of real estate.
Tune in each week as we not only dissect the latest local real estate headlines, but also unveil the secrets behind mastering the ever-elusive work-life balance.
Join us for a wild ride through the realms of home buying, selling, and all the chaos in between. Expect a generous serving of real estate wisdom garnished with a sprinkle of mom magic.
Here we go. I almost said good morning. It's not good morning. Good afternoon.
No, I know. I was just looking at that as well. Good afternoon. How are you?
I am good. Can't complain too much. Just the normal chaos we always deal with, right?
Yep. I don't know if the toilet's running. I keep hearing water kick on.
I'm surprised you can hear it. Like, I can't hear anything through my headphones, really. Or, like, very little.
No. I can hear most things.
Yeah, I think mine are, like, the noise canceling or whatever the proper term is. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, no, these are, like, the old school. I'll tell you what about the AirPods. I have a few different kinds, but I can't stand... They're like always connected. And so like if my phone rings, I go to answer the phone and I'm like, hello, hello, hello. And it's because it's through it automatically connects. I don't like that.
I like disconnect. I turn off Bluetooth on my phone when I'm using them. Like for right now, like when I'm connecting it to my computer, I turn off Bluetooth on my phone so it doesn't like go back and forth.
Yeah. And that makes sense. But it's just in general, like it's... Then it's like an extra step all the time that I'll forget, you know, and I'll be like, well, why isn't my phone connected to the car or whatever? Right. You know, it's like, it's just too much for me.
No, and I don't disagree because I have had like where after we're done recording, like maybe we like close out of Riverside and I want it back on my phone, but I'll be like having a conversation and then it goes onto like speakerphone on my phone rather than through the headphone. Like, I don't know. I don't really wear the headphones and it's like, much though, other than for
me
this.
Me either. Some people will have them in all the time, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't. So it's like, it just becomes annoying to me.
I agree. I'm not really a big headphone person other than doing this.
Yeah.
I'm also not a big like tech person. Like, I use it for a purpose, but like not for like having gadgets and toys. It's like not my thing.
Agreed. I totally agree. I do. I have like Beats headphones that I like to wear when I'm like... walking and stuff like that. But that's about it.
Yeah. You know, my neighborhood, I walk out my door and it's like, see everyone.
You talk to everybody. Yeah, I know.
Like just now,
I like to go
just now before we hopped on. I like was walking the dog before we hopped on and I had two neighbors. I didn't even go around the whole neighborhood. Stop. It was just like right out my driveway. There they were.
I know. Sometimes, though, having the headphones on helps with that. Occasionally. I'm not saying be antisocial.
I think people would stop anyways. And then everyone wants to see the puppy. It's like, you know, I'd have to go walk somewhere else
that's
entirely.
True. That's true. That is true. But how's Noelle feeling?
I don't know. I mean, I guess she's fine. So what she said to me, which I thought was really sweet, this morning, she goes, I'm ready to see my friends today. And I'm like, you know what? Mm. Let's do it. That's great. It was the strangest thing. I mean, she kept...
I mean, you probably would have gotten a call by now.
Don't do that. There's still time. Don't do that. It's on Do Not Disturb, so I wouldn't even see it come through. I'm checking. Yeah, so let's see. Today is Thursday. So Sunday night, we had a beach party, and she was like sitting in my lap, like snuggling. And I'm like, like, are you just worn out, overtired? Like, it was a big weekend for sure. We had the birthday party, you know, with Quinn, and a birthday party before we went to your party. And we had friends over playing at the beach Friday, like nonstop.
A lot. Yeah.
And so I'm like, like, you're just worn out, need to go to sleep. I don't know. She felt a little warm, but I wasn't convinced.
It was hot too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like didn't really think a lot of it, but you know, Garrett came up and just let her go to bed. And then Monday we went to the parade and she seemed totally fine in the morning. But definitely not a fever. Woke up, ate breakfast, very much herself. And then like halfway through, maybe not even halfway through, she like was laying down on the beach chair. And like, again, you could clearly tell not herself. And I'm like, oh, she feels warm again. So she laid low the rest of Monday, which in retrospect, I mean, I wouldn't have gone to the parade if she had seemed sick in the morning, but she didn't. So it was the weirdest thing. It was like every day kind of followed the same pattern where she's totally fine, sleeps all through the night, never once got up in the night, never got sick, never anything other than the fever, was eating normally, drinking normally. When the fever would come on, she'd be like a little bit, you know, lethargic. Like you could tell when it was kind of coming back.
More chill.
Gave her Motrin in like 20 minutes. She's back to normal. So I had to pick her up from school Tuesday around lunchtime. And we went to the pediatrician just to make sure she's all right. Yeah, just some like virus. But I was telling you, like, there's quite a few kids in the neighborhood that have had similar kind of virus.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's the same.
Yeah,
I guess.
So then I had to keep her home yesterday because of like 24 hours with no fever and no medicine. And I don't know. I wouldn't have been, or I won't be surprised if I get a call, but it's been what? Since Sunday. So now like 4 days, 5 days. Like,
yeah,
she's fine.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Last night we went out to dinner and then the kids got ice cream. And when we got home, it was a little later, like 8. And Veda, she did something. And then I'm like, what's the matter? She's like, oh, my stomach hurts a little bit. I'm like, okay. And so she's like, I'm going to go. Like, Quinn was watching something in the living room. She was in my room, which is not unusual. I go in. She has her shirt off. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm hot. I'm like, you're hot? She's like, yes. She's like, you're not hot? I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, you know, so I'm like, okay. I'm like, but you need a shirt on,
right?
You know, I'm like, let me go get you a t-shirt
or a tank top,
yeah. Something. Yeah. She's like, okay. And then I'm like, you okay? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And like, you could see, I think she was a little bit sweaty, you know? Yeah. And so I'm like, do you need a bag? You know? And she was like, no. And Veda is my kid that when something is like not really wrong, she makes a big deal out of it,
yeah.
Right? Like, ooh, whatever.
Right.
But when she is actually not well, she tries to like convince herself and everybody else that she's fine,
yeah.
Right? So she's like, I don't need it. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, let's go like get your shirt. She's like, okay. So she's like, she goes out and sits on the chair. She's all like, you know, trying very hard to like just chat or whatever. And I'm like, Vay, you good? You know? And she's like, Mom, I'm fine. I'm like, okay. So I ordered these like puke bags on Amazon a while ago, you know, and just because it felt like a good idea. And so I brought one out and she's like, Mom, I'm fine. And I'm like, okay, like got it. And I'm like, well, let's go to bed. It was like 8:30, whatever. So we're like laying in bed and she's kind of like propped up, you know, like not snuggling in like she normally does. And I was like, oh crap. You know, like, here we go. The dog, he's up and he's down and she's like getting pissed off at him. And I'm like, let me take him out. And she's like, oh, fine. You know, so I go back in and I couldn't tell if she was sleeping or not, but she wasn't. And she felt clammy. And so I'm like, let me give you a Zofran because I've done this with her before. Like she tries to act like she's fine and she's not. And so I'm like, we don't need to do this,
yeah.
You know? And she's like, okay, all right, fine. And, so I gave it to her and then maybe like 10 minutes after she fell asleep, mm-hmm. Whatever. So I go into my room, then I hear the door. I'm like, oh God, like, here we go. But she was fine. She never got sick. And this morning she was fine. She's like, oh, my stomach feels so much better. I'm like, thank God. Like I didn't know. She's only like that when she actually is not well, you know? So it's
maybe
like,
just something she ate didn't settle right or.
She had like, I think she probably ate quick. She had, we were at Pizza Works and she probably had like 4 or 5 pieces of pizza. And then we drove home to Kellwick's and she had ice cream. Like, so I think it was a lot. It was a lot of dairy probably.
Yeah, yeah.
She was running around, you know, and so I think she's fine. I mean, the Zofran certainly would have been worn off by this morning. So if she was sick,
yeah,
she still would not have felt well. But I didn't sleep great because
you're on high alert.
Wait, yeah, waiting for something to happen. But knock on wood, she was okay. But I'm like, oh god,
yeah.
When she tries to deny it, she's not well.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was like the weirdest thing because I mean, there was just no other symptom, which was great. But like,
yeah.
Nothing is wrong with her other than fever. I mean, I'll take that every
Quinn
time.
Quinn had something similar last year. Just like very similar pattern where in the morning he'd be okay. By the afternoon, I mean, he got up to like 105 though.
Yeah.
And he would say, my forehead hurts. My forehead hurts. And I think it was just because the fever. Mm-hmm. But that was it. There was nothing else. And then he would be fine. Very similar. And then spike a fever. And it was probably a 4-day period.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
he had that. That was last year, but I guess it can happen. It's weird, but
I mean, like I said, with everything else we've had, all the stomach stuff, like I'll take it every time. That it,
amen.
She was fine, yeah. But just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. More inconvenient than like,
I mean, even yesterday, like I probably could have sent her to school, honestly. But like you saw us, we went out, we got bagels, like her stomach felt fine. She helped me put some signs up. She was just along for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was okay with it. Like she wasn't, you know, just wanting to lay on the couch or rest or.
Right. So, hey, go with it. You know,
she was good to go.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. What are we chatting about today?
There goes the toilet again. real estate. Should we tie in the toilet stuff to real estate?
Yeah, maybe, right?
Buyers, right? Buyers, the market, people. Should we talk about interesting client stories?
Yeah, it all kind of ties in. So
yeah.
More specifically, we're talking about mistakes that buyers should avoid in this market.
Or any,
for sure. But especially right now with some of these things.
Sure.
But so the first one, and probably one of the biggest ones, is putting off pre-approval. So a lot of times people will want to say, well, I want to start looking first. You know, people get really protective over their credit, you know, stuff like that. I get it too. They don't want to give out a whole bunch of information until they know they're going to find something that they want. Here's why it's not a great idea to do that. A pre-approval really gives you a great idea of what price range you should be looking in. Mm-hmm. I think that oftentimes people think they know what they can afford, but when you break it down as far as monthly payment and all that, it's not always what they're expecting it to be.
Well, and they're just guessing until you're really told by a lender and they break down, you know, monthly principal, interest, taxes, insurance, break down the whole picture for you. And it can even vary. So once you get the pre-approval, I mean, a lot of clients double check when they look in different towns at different tax rates.
Right. Because it makes a difference.
It does. It fluctuates. I mean, you'll have a good ballpark, but then you need to really narrow it down per property.
Right.
But you need to know that before you look, before you go.
You don't want to start looking at $600,000 houses and realize you're only able to afford a $450,000 house because you're not going to find anything that you like after starting out in the first range. So it's really important before you start looking to know where, like, what you can afford.
Well, really. So you start off and you are going to get disappointed. You're going to get frustrated. You're wasting time, both your time and your agent's time, for something that's not going to pan out. It can be a really painful reality check. If you do it backwards.
Yeah. Another reason is in this market, you have to move fast. And some people have very straightforward profiles. They can get pre-qualified fairly quickly, but others are not as straightforward. And so it takes time for a lender to go through their profile. We cannot submit an offer without a pre-qualification letter, right. pre-approval, whatever, right. proof of funds, however you're going to pay for the house, we have to show that you are qualified to purchase this home. So I just had a scenario with a buyer who was not actively looking, but a house came on that in the neighborhood they want, that they were very interested in. And so they were scrambling, and they were people who have a lot of different investment properties. So it was not a straightforward
file.
Type
yeah.
of file. I think that we saw it on a Saturday, and he worked during the day. Sunday, he was something. I don't know. Like, he didn't actually get to talk to a lender until later on Sunday night. And then they gave a deadline of Monday at noon. So it's like there was no time
scrambling
for him to get the information that he needed. And he really, really wanted this house. It was like, this is what we want. It's one that is like not a very normal house that would come on the market, location wise, price wise, all of that. You know, it was like the perfect scenario for him, but he couldn't do it because he did not have a pre-qual ready.
Right.
So oftentimes we're seeing, and I mean, I have my listing in Groton that's currently on as a coming soon. It goes active on Friday. I already have 50-ish showings booked for the weekend.
Crazy. Crazy.
Another agent just texted me and he said, The showings are all blocked off for tomorrow. That's because they're all actual showings, like it's booked. So this is going to be another scenario where we cut it off. I mean, we can't, he's gone for the whole, I mean, he's like staying at his parents' house. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's, so I'm sure we're going to have a deadline of Monday evening, I believe, assuming we get offers.
Right.
With that many showings, I'm assuming we will. But you know, so that's a perfect scenario where it's like you have to be buttoned up. Don't even bother going if you're not going to be buttoned up because there is no time. You're lucky to even get a showing in at this point.
Yeah, seriously.
So like it is a market where you have to move quickly, and you cannot move quickly if you're not 100% prepared
right.
to go.
Right.
So
no, it's true. You know, and the ones that do the work will win. The ones that are prepared. And even something as simple as proof of funds, it doesn't matter if you're a cash buyer, you need to be able to get that letter ready. And a lot of people don't want to just print out their bank statement or their, you know, bank account balances. And I get it. You shouldn't have to do that. Just get your letter, but have it ready to go. If you know you're even remotely considering looking at properties, you don't have to be actively looking. If you're looking at all, even casually, be prepared.
You should have something. Yeah. Yes. Because obviously, even if you're casually looking, you have some interest in possibly purchasing, you know, like, so even if you don't decide, you can get pre-qualified and not have to do anything. You know, you might have to get it updated if it expires, but then it's a lot easier for a lender to.
It takes like 30 seconds to refresh it.
Yeah. Right.
No, right. It's really, I do understand why people are maybe hesitant to do it, but it's so easy. And
it's
you'll
easy.
Be so
and
glad to have it done.
Yeah. Right. And I'd much rather somebody, I mean, there are certain documents that are required.
Right.
A tax return, for example, unless you just filed it, I sometimes have to track mine down. you know, so it's like, there are documents that you need that might not be easy to just get together at the last minute, you know? So it's much less stressful if you prepare yourself, get it together so that when you are under the gun, it's already done. You don't need to get all that stuff again.
Well, and I'm going to take this another step further. So when I meet with a new buyer, I tell them to interview lenders, right? I'll give them, you know, a list of people we recommend, but they need to pick who they feel most comfortable with. So if you're going out and you're seeing a house and you're not pre-approved and you're telling us Sunday night that you want to write an offer, well, you really no longer have much choice in who you're going to contact, because half of them aren't going to answer you on a Sunday night. And the ones that I'll tell you that will, well, that's to a certain extent me telling you who to use.
Right.
Not you making the choice yourself. You don't have the time to do that. And that never is something that I feel good about. You know, I feel I'm extremely confident in who we recommend. I know that they'll do a good job, but I don't feel comfortable when it's my decision versus them deciding on their own.
Right. Right.
I think they need to have the conversation, no stress, interview, for lack of a better word, who they choose to use, because they should feel comfortable with the lender.
They should. They should. And it's another example of, like, we say we'd much rather have a buyer consultation than just go meet up at a house. But I think people are nervous about getting tied in with someone or something that they're not, and they're not necessarily ready to do that, you know? But in reality, just because you get pre-qualified with a lender doesn't mean you have to go with them. I mean, you still have 5 days typically until you have to actually apply, you know? So, it just, like, working with an agent, like, we are not the type who are like, well, I met with you, like, you're stuck with me. Like, no,
never.
And the same with the prequal, you know, you can get a prequal and then decide if you, you know, come in contact with somebody else in the meantime, you can always switch. It's not a done deal.
Well, actually, I have a story about that. So you're right, you can switch. So we talk about communication, right? Like, we work as a team. We work as a team with the other agent, with the lender, with the attorneys. Like, there needs to be open communication with all parties. So a couple of years ago, I had clients who, mind you, were repeat clients. we had them pre-approved. They were under contract on something. They went ahead and switched lenders. Well into the contract process, I can't remember at this point if the appraisal had or hadn't been done, but we basically didn't find out until we got, like, the mortgage commitment. I'm like, this is not who we were using. And I'm like, okay, well, I understand you got a better rate, more favorable terms. I'm like, and it's fine, but I should have alerted the listing agent that we switched, and I didn't even know.
Right.
And the thing that was really awkward about that was the original lender had made a phone call to the listing agent. It was multiple offers. That was one of the big reasons their offer was accepted, was because of the lender they were using. I'm like, oh my God. Mm. Like, yes, they can do that. But, like, why didn't you say anything? You know, we're at the very end.
Right. Right, right. And I'm absolutely not recommending that people do that necessarily.
I mean, it worked, but it just was so awkward.
And that's more of something you should do prior to, you know, applying for the loan.
Oh, it was all the way through, basically.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's just more of the, you're not necessarily tied in with somebody just because you were preparing yourself ahead of time. Right. You know, so if you get pre-qualified and then are looking for months and then come up with somebody, you know, whatever. I don't want the message to be misconstrued.
No.
I am very loyal to the partners that we work with, you know, so I'm not suggesting anything. It's more of the, if somebody is concerned about doing something too early, they still have options, is my point, as far as a
buyer
goes.
Both with agents and lenders and attorneys, you know, any service provider they have, inspectors.
Correct.
They choose the whole way through.
Yes.
We did, now that I'm thinking about it, we switched lenders ourselves because my husband didn't listen to me the first time.
Well,
yeah.
And that happened. I mean, it does happen, but.
I mean, we switched right around the appraisal time. So we went with USAA originally because my husband thought it would make, you know, the VA loan easier, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're ridiculous. Doesn't matter. Lo and behold, who was
and
right.
And why aren't you listening to me?
Lo and behold, who was right? And we switched, and our local lender we like to work with came right in, you know, the last minute, was able to get the appraisal we'd already had done, didn't need to pay for another one. The big issue was USAA would not lock our rate. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, lock it right now. I like what it is. We're good.
Right. Just we applied. Right. Like, do it. Just yeah.
Get it set. And they wouldn't do it. They wanted to wait until like after, like right when they were doing the mortgage commitment. I'm like, please stop this. Please just
no.
Please yeah. just get the rate right now before it changes.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there are reasons to do so. But
well, and I knew the agent, the list agent on the house we were buying. I'm like, here's what we're doing. You know, my silly husband should have listened to me in the first place. And like, it was fine. It was no big deal. It wasn't like too late to do that. And they understood why we were doing that.
And I honestly probably preferred it.
Oh, I'm sure. That point. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just funny because I was thinking of the clients that did it like sneakily. And lo and behold, we actually did it ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it's sometimes something that needs to be done.
Sometimes necessary. Yep.
Yeah. Let's see the next one. So these we, got from Keeping Current Matters. These are what they, the mistakes that they are noticing or, think buyers need to avoid. We agree, but, this is where they're coming from. So the next one is holding out for perfection.
I have opinions on this one.
Go for it.
Well, I tell you, I got a little, excited when we were talking about this before recording, but I tell clients regularly, even prospective clients, there's no such thing as a perfect house. And it doesn't matter if it's new construction. It doesn't matter if you build it yourself. It doesn't mean that there aren't good quality homes, well-built homes, but things can and will and do go wrong. It may not be day one, but it's in life, there's just no such thing as perfection.
Right.
So set your sights accordingly. You know, yes, you want to find a safe home. Yes, you want to make sure the mechanical systems are, you know, working properly. I get it. And that's why you do inspections. That's why you, you know, go look in person, you do a walkthrough. You know, there's a lot of checks and balances, but you're never going to be able to prevent everything or see everything.
Yeah, no, and it's true. Especially in this market, we are finding that buyers really need to adjust some of their expectations, whether that is price-wise, you know, in order to be competitive against multiple offers. Sometimes people have to drop the price of what they are looking at because they need to be able to
give themselves room to go over.
Yep. Right. Which means most likely they have to adjust some of their non-negotiables that they thought they needed in a home. Garage, no garage, you know, is
updated.
Things like that.
Kitchens and baths.
Updated.
Refinished floors. You know, you may have to do more of the work yourself or do it over time.
Right. Right. So, you know, expectations need to stay realistic at all times, but especially in a competitive market such as this, unless they have the ability to if money's not an issue, if they have the time, you know, they're not under certain time restraints.
Sure.
And then hold out for the house that you want, you know, if you're able to. But we're finding more often than not, the people don't have years to search for a home, and they don't have endless amounts of money. So they have to give somewhere.
And that's tough because I always tell clients that I never want them to feel like they're settling. But unfortunately, in certain situations, people might have to.
Right.
And so, like you said, you know, adjusting your expectations because you shouldn't settle for something that just isn't remotely comfortable to you. You shouldn't settle so much that it's not where you want to live. So think about it. You can't change the location. Right. You really can't control the price so much. You can change things about the house over time.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, I, in this market specifically, I always want people to look at a handful of houses before mm-hmm. they say, I'm going to settle. You know, I had some people who we looked at a couple houses and they were talking about putting an offer in, even though they didn't love the house. And I'm like, you don't need to do that right now. Like, do that. Like you, there are still plenty of houses. You still have some time. Like, just give it a minute before you move forward on a house that you really don't love, you know? Now, if somebody's been looking for and have seen many houses, then I think there comes a time where it's like, okay, we have to adjust here, you know? But it's not for the people who are just starting. Like, you really need to see different houses before you can comfortably determine, can I give or not? So, do you know what I mean? Like, the more you see, the more you have a better idea of what you actually want.
I agree with you very much. But it kind of makes me laugh because my very first clients, my very first buyers, my very first transaction, I had two right around the same time. So it was either my first or second, but my first buyers, they ended up buying the first house I showed them. And I was so nervous about it. I was like, are you sure? Like, we haven't looked at anything. Like, we can take our time. This was a market when there was plenty available. And I'm like, let's just, you know, go out tomorrow. I think it was like over the weekend. I'm like, let's, you know, pick two or three others. And they're like, we really like this house. They still live there today. Like,
and some people do know. And some people do know. And I, you know, we're not the people to tell somebody not to do it.
Oh, no, I wrote it up for them. I mean, I didn't argue with them. I was just like,
These people specifically were like, we don't love it. We like it. We don't love it. And I'm like, why would you do it then? Right. You know, like.
And I don't care what your budget is. We could be talking any price point.
Millions.
But it's a lot of money if you don't love it.
Right. Like, and I'm like, listen, if you decide you want it, obviously I'll do it. But sleep on it. Like, don't make a rush decision right now when you don't love it. And they obviously didn't do it. But it's like, if they said, this is the house I want, I love this house, and okay,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, that's great. But it's more of the, I don't love it. Let's not rush into anything, you know?
I agree. The stakes are too high. And again, I mean that at any price point. I don't care if you're at the low end price point or $1 million. It's too much money to make a decision like that.
Right.
I think.
Right. And in most cases, you are in multiple offers. So it's mm-hmm. going to be paying a premium for the house. Yep. And why pay a premium for the house if you don't love it?
And you're going to come to regret it. Yeah.
Right. Right.
I agree. So what was next on this list? I changed some of it when I was writing it down. Is it the inexperienced agents?
Nope. Well, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter which order we do it.
Okay. So I wrote down inexperienced agents or an agent like out of the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not working with a local real estate agent.
I think with the market as competitive as it's been, you need an agent that has the skills necessary to, you know, give you some different strategies, offer strategies, negotiation strategies, and also someone that knows the area. And this is, you know, you can have a newer agent, but somebody that's on a team and hearing and picking up all of these different strategies that we're talking about. So inexperienced, take with a grain of salt, because there are agents that can be very well trained very early on without necessarily the years of experience. Alternatively, there can be agents that have done this forever, but have not adapted to market, you know, changes, not in a competitive way for their clients. And out of the area, I mean, we do cover a pretty broad territory, but there are parts of the state that the market's different.
Yes.
So you either have a little more research or consider referring that client out.
And like, for example, the Fairfield County area, they operate a lot more like New York does than we do.
Their I would never be able to. Contracts are entirely different. Not just the paperwork, their contract terms. So you're not under contract.
Yeah, how they do things. Yeah. They do inspections and all that first, I think, before you're actually under.
So it's like an attorney review period.
Yes.
And I don't remember the time frame on it, but you're not technically under contract until the attorney reviews the paperwork. So you have your deposit. The house, I don't think, is still being shown. I'm not even sure about that part. You have an offer.
I have no idea. Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything? I find it very confusing.
I would never, especially in a market like this, represent a buyer in that area because I have no clue.
Right.
I have no clue.
Right.
I don't know the area. I don't know how they do things. Maybe if it was a slower market that you had time, it would be a good learning opportunity, right? But I wouldn't. Not in this market. And
I've had one of our attorney Salami has basically told me, not so much in these words, but like, just don't even try it. Like,
don't
it's
bother.
Not worth it.
No, it's true. It's true. And I've had buyers come from that area, Fairfield, New York, even, that have a very hard time with the process here because it is that much different.
Yes. Yes. I had buyers, you know, that bought in late last year, early this year from Trumbull area and like were very confused in the difference in process from what they were selling there and buying here. And I'm like, you know, I'm really sorry. This is how it works here. And they just had a very hard time keeping it all straight because it's
and like if you're
totally
coming
different.
From a different state, I can understand that. But in the same state, I could see how they struggle with that because it's like, why would you do something different than me? We're all in the same state.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Tough. No, no.
No one asked us. We don't make the rules.
No, that's true. But that's why it's important that you work with somebody who knows the process. Because if you try to submit an offer and there are multiple offers and you don't know the process, they're not going with you. Like nobody has time to help the other agent through the transaction. Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree. Yeah. So Fairfield County, I think I refer out.
No, 100%. 100%. Agree with that. Let's see. Then the last one is buying more house than you can afford. So I have a little something for that one. So I, you know, buyers are required at this point to really, I won't say required to overextend themselves, but it is very much an environment where they have to be able to be competitive.
Be competitive, yep.
And whatever that means for them.
I wrote down to that same point, you still have to put your best offer first.
Right. Right. I think that there are some people who are getting to the point of desperation more because of a timeline issue. Their lease is up, their landlord is selling, and they have to leave, right? It's not even just, oh, their lease is up. Like, they're like, you got to go. Mm-hmm. They've relocated. I know there's a woman that Ann was talking to who relocated and staying in a hotel. You know, there are situations where people have to find a place to live. So when they get to a point of losing out, they become desperate and stretch themselves thinner than what they should.
Yep.
And that is what could cause foreclosures, all that good stuff in the future. And then, you know, things change with your mortgage payment. Taxes go up, homeowners insurance goes up. So the payment that you were okay with but stretching to is now overextended due to changes that are out of your control. So I think it's important for people to keep in mind that, yes, your payment might be something today, but next year could be something very different.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard. I think the best advice in my mind we can give clients is to be cautious. So I think you're better off looking at a lower price point. So you give yourself room to go over, but you're going over on the lower tier. So you're still leaving yourself a little bit of a cushion for the things, like you said, that are out of your control.
Right.
There's no financial advisor in the world. And I'm not saying we're financial advisors. We're certainly not. But there's no financially responsible person that would ever tell you, you should go max your budget.
And we, as the real estate agents, don't always know their specific financial situation.
Right.
Right? Like we get how much they're pre-qualified for from the lender.
But that doesn't...
And sometimes...
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Sometimes a buyer is very open and candid, but some aren't. Like some are protective of their finances, which I agree with.
Right.
We don't necessarily need to know what their financial situation is as long as we know they're qualified to make their purchase home at this price, So it's something that buyers need to be aware of, that when we are having conversations with you, we give the information based on what we know market-wise, right?
Yep.
But we don't always know what your personal situation is. And we've said this many times. That's why I say you got to come up with your magic number. I can't give that to you though. That's something you need to come up with based on your situation.
And take that one step further. So don't just take the sales price and the market data that we give you. Don't just look at what your purchase price can be or your offer price can be. You need to know what your monthly payment will be at those numbers. Don't just throw a number out there that you either can't fulfill or don't want to fulfill.
Right. Right. And this is another reason why I tell buyers it's important to use a local lender, more likely a mortgage broker, because we need to be able to get in contact with them anytime prior to submitting an offer, whether that's evening,
nights,
or the weekend. We need to be able to call them and say, can you please run the numbers at this max price? And so they know what the monthly payment would be. And that's why it's important to not have Liberty Bank, for example, because 90% of the time, and I'm sure there are some that are more available, but they are there
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday. And so most people aren't submitting offers during that time frame. It's evenings and weekends. Right. So that is research that a buyer really needs to do for themselves, because we can't do that for them. And that will prevent anybody from overextending themselves, because they'll know, what it is and exactly how high, like, this is absolutely my max. This is how high it can go.
Yep.
And it's important. You know this story, but I had buyers who put in offer, very strong offer on a house, but with the assumption that it would not appraise. They did not share that with me, that they assumed it wouldn't appraise. And had they shared it, I would have said, I don't recommend you doing that, because we are seeing some houses not appraise, but a lot of them are.
Yep.
Like, it's the market.
And
when
there's multiple offers, you can show the demand for it. So it's easy to say that buyers are willing to pay this.
Right. Right. And so it's buyers really need to understand that whatever offer you put in, you have to be comfortable paying that amount.
Yep.
Not, I don't think that's what it's going to be. And this is, again, it is in my magic number spiel.
Yep.
A purchase price that you are okay if you get this house.
Yep.
Not, I didn't think I was going to have to pay it, or you're okay if you don't get this house. Like, I didn't want to pay more than that anyway, so I'm good.
Right.
There cannot be any assumptions. The understanding should be, if you're putting in an offer for this amount of money, you are comfortable and able to pay this amount of money.
Willing and able.
And that's it. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's going to get buyers into trouble. Well, and it has. You get stuck with it.
And it has.
You
can't. And these people can do it. You know, they're not ones that can't do it at all. It was more of a mindset than it was. Right. They can't do it, you know,
but it just, buyers beware, anyone listening, you can't do that.
Right.
If you do not want to spend it, do not write it.
Right. And this is not the type of market where we can advise our clients how much to pay. It really comes down to what can you and what are you willing to?
Yep. Yep.
I can tell you if that it's a strong offer, but I can't tell you this is how much you should pay.
Right. That's not for us to say.
No.
Well, in any market, really.
No.
I mean, I can give you my opinion on whether or not something's worth writing, you know, especially if someone's trying to come in low in this market, if we know it's been, you know, a revolving door. I can tell you pretty confidently that your offer is probably not going to cut it.
Yeah. And it's really one more of the scenario that it's like, there was a time where we could say, okay, yes, the listing price is a good price,
right?
Go, you know, the comps show it. But now we are in a place where it's like, I don't know if that amount is going to cut it. It depends on how many offers. It depends on who's submitting an offer, where in their journey they are. Like, there are so many things that are unknown. So we really can't say, yeah, that number will do it. I mean, it's a strong offer, sure.
Right.
Is somebody going to pay more than that? It's possible. Yep. I don't know.
We'll never know. We don't get to see.
We'll never know.
You know, what else is being presented.
Right.
Keeps things interesting, I suppose.
Yep. So, you know, I'm sure there are more things that we could touch on, but I think that that's a pretty good solid list for buyers to keep in mind, you know, when they are either starting out their journey or already fully in it, you know?
Right. So, I mean, I think the best way to summarize, in my opinion, is get the team around you that you feel comfortable with. Interview the team. And I mean your agent and your lender to start. Make sure they know what they're doing. Make sure they know the market, they know the different strategies, and your lender's available.
And listen to them in that beginning part. You know, I'm not saying the whole way through necessarily, but when they say this is what you need to do to be ready, then you should do what they tell you to do to be ready.
Right. Right. We're only trying to help you.
Set you up. Yeah. We're trying to set you up for success and trying to avoid a potentially very stressful scenario of you really wanting a house and not ready.
Right, right. Either holdups, delays, losing it all together. Just, we try to prevent whatever problems we can.
Right. All right.
Yeah, the clients have to meet us halfway, have to work with us.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. And that should be why you hire an agent.
Right.
Because you trust them and you are ready for somebody to guide you through this process.
I agree.
So, I have to get ready to go pick up. Beta has PT this afternoon, so I have to pick her up early. Gymnastics, you know, the huge.
There you go. We've got tennis. We've got a field trip tomorrow. We've got a school picnic tomorrow after the field trip. We have my in-laws' dog for the next like 10 days or so.
Oh, wow.
We're going to a wedding on Saturday, which I'm very excited about. But our poor babysitter is going to be watching two children and three dogs.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So it's going to be a lot.
You better tip her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, she's sweet. She lives right in the neighborhood. She'll do just fine. But
yeah, so that's good.
Really throwing her in it this weekend.
Will the canine be like out and about?
Oh, no. No.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, the wedding's just in Brantford, so it's not that far. And my family's going to, so either like Garrett may leave early and I'll come home with my family, or, you know, the canine will just be in the crate for as long as we're gone, which he's fine with. I mean, he likes the crate, so it's not like that's a punishment by any means. Yeah. But no, the babysitter will not be watching the canine. That's too much.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But, well, all right.
And we both have open houses this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go stop
indeed
and pick up all that stuff. I might not get that till Saturday morning because I'm going on the field trip tomorrow.
Get what?
Like the open the house packets. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We can talk more about that later.
Yeah. I'm just thinking out loud at this point.
Yeah.
Time is flying by. I was going to go today, but I don't know if she has it done today. So.
Yeah, I think usually by Friday.
Yeah. So probably Saturday morning I'll get it, which is fine. It's right there. So.
Which is fine. It's right there. Yeah. All right. Well, you enjoy your evening, and I hope that Noelle is on the other end.
Yes. I think I would have gotten a call by now, but.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Real Estate Mom Moguls.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please support us by liking, sharing, and subscribing.
Your support is invaluable in bringing you more insights on real estate and mom life.
We'd love to hear your topic requests for future episodes. Feel free to leave them in the comments.
Stay tuned for more.
See you next time.